Woody Allen said, "Love is the answer. But while you're waiting for the answer, sex raises some pretty good questions." When we first meet Samson at the beginning of Judges 14, he's walking the streets of the Philistine village of Timnah, which was approximately 6 miles from his home in Zora. At about 20 years of age, we'd like to believe he was finally preparing to assume his role as the leader of God's people. We'd like to think he was putting the final touches on a plan to rally his Israelite brothers against the Philistines. We'd like to think he entered enemy territory to gather intelligence. However, it appears he was only there to check out the babes. Picture him walking up and down the streets of Timnah, winking and smiling at every girl he passed. Of course, some were too unattractive or too married to warrant anything more than a casual glance. But eventually he spotted one that rang his chimes. We're not told her name or anything else about her, only that Samson liked her looks, wanted her, and was determined to have her at any cost. And so began Samson's lifelong battle with lust. It's not surprising that he fought such a battle because, from Samson to Bill Clinton, it's the men of power and influence in every culture that are considered to be sexy. No doubt you've seen a gorgeous young woman in her 20s hanging on the arm of a below-average-looking middle-aged man, and wondered, "What in the world does she see in him?" To you and me it makes no sense, but survey after survey indicates that women are more attracted to power and influence than looks, education, talent, or even character. Even our children's fairy tales reinforce the notion. Remember how Cinderella's ugly sisters were so desperate to marry into the royal family that they were willing to painfully cram their oversized feet into a tiny glass slipper. Of course, I'm not suggesting that all men of strength struggle with lust. Many don't. And of course, weak men often face this battle too. But the Samson syndrome is about tendencies, and let's face it, guys. When you've been wired by your creator to love sex, are living in a sexually permissive culture, are used to getting what you want, and are considered to be a prize catch by certain flirtatious members of the opposite sex, that can be a prescription for trouble. To me, the hardest part of any discussion about lust is simply trying to define it. Jesus said, "Anyone who even looks at a woman with lust in his eye has already committed adultery with her in his heart," Matthew 5 verse 28. The reason that's such a scary verse is because there's so much uncertainty about what it means to look at a woman with lust in your eye. The typical man reads that verse and immediately pictures a beautiful woman. Maybe someone he works with or someone he just saw at the mall. Then he remembers how he checked her out. Not that he whistled or drooled or barked like a dog, but he knows he gave her the once-over, discreetly, of course, and had a thought or two pass through his mind that had nothing to do with last week's Sunday school lesson. And then he wonders, "Was I lusting? Am I an adulterer? Do I need to repent? Is there something wrong with me?" It's unfortunate that no one has ever come up with a definition of lust that everybody can agree on. We know it has to do with sex, it's a mind thing, and it's bad.
But where does normal sexual desire end and lust begin?
As one of my friends said, "If you stand up and preach about lying, I know exactly what you're talking about and I know if I'm guilty. But if you start talking about lust, all of a sudden I'm not sure where I stand." We may never come up with a definition of lust that satisfies everybody, but I do believe we can understand it. The key is to see it in action, to observe the behavior of someone who is obviously being driven by lust. Enter Samson. If you look closely at his behavior, you'll see that lust causes a person to make two grave mistakes. See you in the next podcast. Please stay with me.